Hello, everybody. Welcome to 2024. I hope you all had a lovely holiday break, and now you're celebrating, you're kicking in the new year by listening to a podcast that's been described as a podcast. Oh, that's my own voice there. Uh-oh.
It's the sound of my laptop. Sorry.
The person who just did that was Jacob Decker.
Hello. I'm monitoring chat, so talk your shit. I'll see it.
I'm John Luke Seipke, your host this week for episode 223, GameSpot After Dark.
Damn.
Yeah. I know. It feels like we just did 200. We're already like almost there, like halfway to 250.
It does feel like we just did 200, but it feels like we've done like 60 episodes since 200, to be fair.
I mean,
I don't know why, because we had that Callie was on and Mike, we had people switching out. It felt like
that was a good episode.
It was a fun episode. It was a good episode.
Mm, yeah. A lot's happened.
I hope everyone enjoyed the trivia episode, because that was so much fun.
That was a ton of fun. Shout out to Jacob McCourt, one of our excellent Discord moderators for the GameSpot Discord, and just fellow all around awesome guy who hosted a little video game trivia we did. That was our last episode. If you haven't checked that out, please do. It was a fun time. It's just me and Jake this week, because guess what?
People didn't want to come back.
They said, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do that anymore.
Let's keep this break going.
Everyone's just still out for the week, traveling, taking time off. So it's just me and Jake. We're going to keep it light and casual. I think we're going to kind of just chat about what we did over break, what games we played, and then maybe just kind of look at what's coming up with 2024, because it's going to be a weird year, because last year was so crazy.
Last year was insane.
This year was nonstop.
This still seems like a big year. It just doesn't seem like...
In a more normal way.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, I wonder if people... I'm bracing for the inevitable, like, takes where everyone's like, "Duh, this year sucks compared to last year." Because I'm like, dude, last year was
stupid. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get another year like that in a long time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a while before that happens again. So hopefully everyone's got their expectations in check.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, Jake, you and me were playing more Lethal Company last night. And
oh, God, it's so funny.
Dude, that is like, I've heard multiple people say this to me, and I have also said it. We're like, I think that is like the hardest a game has ever made me laugh. In like a very long time.
Multiple times too. Like the first time when we played, I think it was you, me, Matt, and we laughed pretty hard. But I was like, okay, this could be a fluke once I get used to this. But I feel like every time I play, there's at least one or two things that happen that just absolutely kill me.
It doesn't get old. And I think why it doesn't get old is the game is got enough layers to it where you throw in like one new person into the mix. And the dynamic completely changes. Like, that was the first time it was like you, me, Matt Padgett,
and
your buddy Stuart. Yeah. And like that combo was excellent, because, you know, like the amount of times Matt would just run off on his own and not tell anyone. I think my favorite was like, this is very early in the match or in the night. You and me were going ahead. Matt's just gone all of a sudden. We like just landed. We're like, well, Matt's gone. What the heck? Stu goes back to check for him. Comes back like 5 minutes later and is like, I can't find Matt. Pretty sure he's dead. And
we're
like,
he's dead.
So we're just assuming Matt died, because that's pretty common. And then like I end up getting killed by like this weird
face hugger
thing, which is horrifying, by the way, because when it grabs you,
you're muffled too. And you're talking, you're like, help, help. But it's all muffled.
You can't hear. They can't hear you really. And so you're just like screaming into like the void, like desperately, like, God, I hope they notice. And like Jake shows up and he's like, oh, Jesus, something's on Jean-Luc.
We got nothing to, we have no way to save you. So we just watched you die. And then the bug fell off and I thought it would die after, run away. But it just looked at me and I was like, oh, it's going to jump on me. And then it jumped on me. And as I'm suffocating, I just hear Matt say like, hey, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, there he is. He's alive.
He shows up. Like, when I died, I was like, oh, cool, I'll be able to talk to Matt now. And then it's like, you're spectating Matt Padgett. And I was like, you son of a bitch. You're not even dead. Like, where the fuck were you? That game is just incredible.
There's some great moments. I think like over break, I was playing with Matt and I was telling him, I was like, he was like, so are there any weapons? And I'm like, oh, yeah, so if you pick up like signs or shovels, you can swing those. You can attack people. we're playing with Callie, and Matt and I separate for a little bit, and I see one of those signs, and I'm like, hey, Matt, pick up that sign. You can swing. And then he swings it at me and kills me instantly. And then Callie turns the corner, and it's just Matt standing over my body, blood everywhere with just a sign. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's a game where I want to like go around and play with everyone we know.
Yeah.
Like, I want to play with Kurt sometime.
I want to play with Kurt. I want to play with Rob.
Oh yeah, Rob. Rob posted a clip the other day. That was funny. Yeah. It was like him, Peter, and Kurt playing together. I was like, damn.
Yeah. I played with Dan, and he, of course, found a whoopee cushion and then just kept stomping on the whoopee cushion the entire time.
Yeah.
You found a
little like blowhorn.
I found an air horn, so I just walk. Meh, meh.
It for some reason to my ears it sounded like Matt Padgett screaming, so I heard it like in the distance, and I thought it was Matt screaming, and then you just come over, like fucking Christ.
It's got a good mix of like just really stupid shit too. Like you can get a toilet for your spaceship, and all it does is flush, but it's funny.
It's very funny. For some reason, the game kept telling Stuart he was the laziest employee every round, even though most of the time he was the one who would like find the most
carry
shit.
Bodies back.
He'd be like carrying bodies back, and they're like, this fucking lazy piece of shit, which I can only assume either it's a bug and it's really funny, or that's the game like just kind of fucking with you.
I like to think it's just picking on someone, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm just gonna keep doing it to this person so they
that would seem appropriate for that game.
The air horn explodes. Bob Jones says the air horn explodes.
Oh, I wish that happened.
Does it just, if you use it too much, does it explode? Huh?
Well, we were using the air horn to try and like get the clerk to show up.
Yeah.
Because we were like ringing that bell.
Like crazy.
He's not showing up.
That game's very good. I want to play more. I'm excited to see what they add to it, what they do. I feel like it's early access. There's still some jank to it. But some of it's good, though. Some of it's...
Yeah.
Some of that kind of helps. Phasmophobia was weird.
I was going to say, yes. Like,
the jank is good in that, but it almost looks... It looks wrong based on the art style. But with this, the jank, I feel like, kind of adds to the
jank
charm.
Feels a little more deliberate, where Phasmophobia feels a little more wrong. But I also am of the opinion that any attempts to correct Phasmophobia's jank has been for the worst.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, no. Keep that game as janky as possible. Like, I love that about it. So yeah. I kind of feel the same way about Lethal Company. Although they might want to add some accessibility stuff for motion sickness, because apparently...
Yeah, it made, like, Lucy really sick,
Lucy
right?
sick. It gave Jeff Bacalar from Giant Bomb, it gave him the first ever, like, motion sickness he's ever had, really bad. I was like... Christ. Okay, so maybe they could add a couple of like an FOV slider and a crosshair or something to fix that. But
yeah, I think that'd be nice.
Yeah, man, that wasn't the only game that came out in December, which was kind of wild. Usually December is pretty dead, but we had that. We had the finals.
Also very good.
Also very good. I feel like my opinions on it are the same as everyone's opinions, which is, wow, this is a good game. Shame about the AI narrators. Because I'm not into that. And also, I don't think they're very good. They're just not interesting.
Well,
it's very bizarre.
I think in a previous episode, I was like, well, I could see why you'd want to use AI narrators if you're trying to read out players' names in the game. But we didn't hear that at all.
No.
It's just...
I assumed...
It all sounds canned. Like, I've heard the same thing so many times. That's why I'm like, I feel like you could have just... hired people
these lines. They're not justifying the use of AI in the way that I think we were like assuming they were going to do, which just makes the whole thing like, why are you even doing this? It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But we already kind of talked about in the previous episode. But I mean, yeah, the actual game itself is like so much fun.
Yeah. It's very good. It's well designed. It's very clever. I think I was playing with you when we kind of figured this out, but we were getting really annoyed because people would just lay the objective with smoke bombs.
Oh yeah.
Or gas bombs, and those would stay forever. They would do so much damage.
Yeah.
And you're like, how do we get through this? And then I figured out as a healer, I can just heal you as you walk in.
Yeah, and I'm the
and
tank,
do it.
So
I'm
can
like,
I take more.
Okay, that makes sense. That's kind of cool. But
that's where that game really starts to shine, is when you figure that out. Like, we found out we're like, oh, well, you could just, if they're above in at the top of a building with the vault, whatever you call it, yeah, the thing you're trying to put in the to cash out, I'm like, well, we could just, I could put C4 underneath it and just blow the floor.
Yeah.
And so there was like one where we just blew the floor like 3 or 4 times and it just went down, 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 down. And then I think like the final one, like the whole building eventually just like collapsed. See, and we're like underneath the rubble, like trying to like get the thing. And right before the last second, like that kind of stuff. So cool.
A destruction in multiplayer games just never gets old. Watching a building collapse is so cool. It probably doesn't get old because I feel like Battlefield did it for a while and now they don't even really do it anymore.
I think this feels like a true evolution of
a levolution.
Levolution.
I'll never forget.
But in the same way that like the levolution of Battlefield, like that was one thing, but then also like Siege, the way you could like systematically destroy things to kind of poke advantages. Like it feels like this is the evolution of those two ideas taken further. And it has almost a, like, this is going to be kind of a weird comparison, but like Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, almost like freedom to it, where it's like, oh, you can really come up with some like weird strategies that feels like very satisfying when you figure out like, oh yeah, like we can like try and like straight up move the checkpoint, you know, using like explosives or doing this or that, or avoiding the gas grenades. I forget who pointed out, I think it was maybe Matt or you, but how the game actually solves one of the biggest problems with Bad Company 2, because that was the last Battlefield that had like true, like everything could be destroyed.
You could destroy buildings.
And the problem with it, as cool as it was at the time, was every, like halfway through the match, every building would be completely destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second half of the match is just, there's no cover. And it kind of sucked. It wasn't great. This game avoids that really well by, the map is very large, but you're centralized to like one building, and then it never goes back to the same spot. So it kind of rotates around the map in a really clever way. So by the time maybe that one cash out is done, the entire area is destroyed. But then you move on to the other area, and you really rarely, if ever, go back to that previous area. So it kind of avoids that problem.
I think it's smart, because when we first started playing, I was like, man, these maps are huge for just three teams of three. But then when you realize what they're doing, it's like, okay, this makes sense. And I think, too, the movement in that game feels really good, and there's a lot of cool movement tools you can use that I feel like really, really add to it, and you kind of need those bigger maps to do it. Like, for instance, the zip line, being able to zip line your team around the area, the jump pad and stuff. And I like how, you know, like I would angle jump pads on the slopes of buildings so I'd launch more forward instead of,
or you put it in a window so that when they try and like get in, they just immediately
fly out, which is super funny. So there's just so many like really clever interactions that can happen in that game that I think make it really good. There's some, apart from the AI, there's a lot of small things that kind of bug me about it. Like, I don't really like the character designs on anyone.
No, character designs are pretty bland and lack personality.
I don't like the menus, but after going through Call of Duty, I mean, it's so much better than that. So I guess I can't complain.
Kind of bog standard, free-to-play style.
I think it's like just how contestants and store, in term, not like in-game store, but store where you purchase like equipment for your classes. The fact that that's separate confused me for a very long time.
Yeah, no. When you, because the big thing you want to unlock is like the alternate weapons for the classes, because they're pretty, it changes the way it plays pretty significantly. Sure. You'll unlock it, but then you have to then go back out and then go into the character select menu, then select
that's
the character,
mostly what
and then
me.
Change it. Yeah. So yes, I 100% agree. Yeah. That could be cleaned up, because that is like kind of annoying. There should just be a thing that's like, would you like to immediately apply this to your character? And you're like, yes, I would. Because the weapons are all feel great and do change up pretty significantly.
Yeah.
Like, I really didn't like the heavy at first. Same with you, because there's...
Still don't, but you told me to try that other gun.
But you get the other gun. You get the trench gun, which is so weird, because it's just like a World War II gun. They have a special skin for it, where it's like a roulette wheel.
Yeah, that one's really cool.
Which is like really dumb.
I'm not paying for it, but it's
cool. that gun feels great. So I was like, oh, I actually really like this class now, and was kind of getting more into them. So yeah, it's a game that the more you put into it, the more it gives back in terms of that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think my issues with it, like you said, kind of, it's almost less an issue with the game and more just like my general issues with like free to play style games.
It's all like the skins are so
expensive in a way that every game is now. Like, it was like, yeah, it's like $16 for like this one gun skin. I was like, I'm not paying that.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. Like, what are you talking about? But I'm just an old person now who's just yelling at clouds.
It's free to play game. So, you know, consider that.
It is free to play and you do get a lot out of it from free to play. And to be fair, it doesn't shove that stuff down your throat in the way that some other games do. So I do give them credit for that.
Yeah. I feel like I have
Call of Duty's way worse about it and you have to pay $60 for that game.
And Fortnite too is pretty bad. Like, people are dancing. They spend like a minute before everyone's dancing skins and stuff. And it's like, oh man, I'm just the lame Fortnite guy.
Dude, speaking of menus, I don't like the Fortnite menu.
Oh yeah.
I hate it. It's up there with the Call of Duty menu for just being like this like blah of like icons and menus. They're trying to do the Roblox thing where they're appealing to all the different modes, but all the custom creator modes look like really like shitty YouTube thumbnails.
Yeah.
So it just, I'm looking at it, I'm like, am I on YouTube? Like, what is happening?
When I was going through, there was like Mr. Beast, like doing a Mr. Beast face and a Mr. Beast thumbnail. And I'm like, what is going on? I thought I was on Fortnite and I clicked on it and then it showed a video and I was like, all right, I don't follow.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it was super strange. Fortnite's weird, but we played some of the Lego Survival.
We did play some of the Lego Survival.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I forget if we talked about it on the podcast before. So sorry,
I think maybe you did.
Repeat myself. Yeah, I think maybe if I did. So my initial feelings were, this is cool. The Lego stuff's fun. The like crafting survival mechanics feel a little basic. Still feel that way, but I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you play with the right people, you can have a good time. We were playing with the other Stu. That boy is just a ball of enthusiasm. And he's just like, oh my God, there's a rainbow over there. We got to go with that. And let's go check out this cave and let's do that. And you're just like, I'm having a great time playing with you. And it's wonderful. We built a little watchtower above our village. And it was wonderful. It was a lovely little time. So I do like that game. And I would like to see them continue to support and evolve it, and I'll probably want to play more when they do.
Yeah,
because I think it's got a good foundation.
Yeah, I do too. I feel the same, because I didn't play as much as you guys did, but what I did play was charming. I think my problem with a lot of those games is if there's not something thrusting me forward, like if it's just if I'm in a situation where it's like, okay, why am I building to build? Then it's like, okay, I need something more to latch on to.
A story or a goal.
Yeah, and Lego kind of had that with the leveling up your village. settlement, your village,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a cool idea, but it's also one of those things when I'm playing with three or four people, I'm not really focused on that because I assume someone else is more focused on it.
Right.
So I'm not really paying attention to how that works or anything. So new things just pop up and I'm like, cool, but I'm not really paying attention to it. I really love The Forest and The Forest 2, Sons of the Forest, because I feel like those games, at least for me, we're very good at giving me an objective. It's like, okay, I'm building because I want to save my son. I am building because I want to see what's down here. I'm crafting these things because I want answers to these questions that I have.
Even like Valheim
is
much looser,
yeah.
is still like defeat the four ancient gods of whatever. And it's like you have an immediate goal. So that's.
But like, it's epic. I'm sure if they continue to support it, there will be more of that down the road.
Yeah, and the Lego part of it, I think, is a compelling aspect. Like the way it like took me a minute to realize it, but like, oh, when you build one of the pre-built like things, they have you do it in like little stages, like a Lego set. And I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
like
and watching all the pieces like connect and stuff is satisfying.
The little sound it makes, and like, oh, that's pretty good. So, I do think they got something there.
Yeah.
Anything else you checked out over holiday?
Oh, I played Pokemon.
You play a lot of Pokemon?
I caught some shinies I've been wanting for a long time. A Duraludon shiny. Evolved it into an Archaludon, which is a new steel dragon type Pokemon.
Okay.
Pretty cool. I finally caught a shiny Feebas, which evolves into a shiny Milotic. Gen 3 Classic. It's a shiny I've been hunting for on and off for a very long time, so I finally got that. And then a shiny Hydrapple, which is the new grass dragon.
Oh, okay.
And it's normally, I think, in a red apple or a green apple. But when you catch the shiny, it's in like a gold apple. So it's kind of cool. Yeah.
That's kind
of
neat.
So I played some Pokemon, did some battling. Cool. Other than that, I saw a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Any good ones?
I saw The Holdovers, which was very good. I saw Poor Things, which was also very, very good. I saw... what else did I see? Oh, I saw Iron Claw. Know nothing about wrestling. Don't really care about wrestling in general, but that was very good. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Isn't what's his name in it?
Zac Efron. Which I didn't know until halfway through that movie.
He looks like a slab of meat in that movie. Yeah. It's incredible.
I don't know. I imagine he bulked up a lot for that role, but I think he also had like a prosthetic chin to make him look
sure.
More like,
I mean, he looks so different.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was him until halfway through, and then I saw there was like a certain shot of him, and I'm like, I feel like I've seen him before. And then I think it was like a GQ thumbnail where I was like, kind of looks like Zac Efron from that GQ thumbnail. Mm-hmm. And then the credits rolled, and it was Zac Efron.
Yeah, that's funny.
But Jeremy Allen White is in that, which is why I was pretty interested. But it's very good. And then I saw Ferrari as well, which was okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to talk too much about movies on a video game podcast.
Video game podcast. We're talking about video games. I did play two other video games over the holiday break.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
I did. Oh. Is it because you looked up the sheet?
I have. Yeah, I've got the cheat sheet here. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I played Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I picked it up on sale because that was one of the games that I didn't play when it came out because of the bugs. And I think it was also just like way too busy. But I liked the first one, so I was like, oh, I'll probably like this. And I'm not sure how I feel about it, actually, right now.
I was pretty bored by it.
Yeah.
I'm told I didn't get far enough, which is fair, but I am not compelled to keep playing.
I think that game has a really bad opening.
Yeah.
I think the opening heist on Coruscant, like, in theory, sounds cool. I think it's kind of dull. There's not really much of like, wait, where is this going? What's the drive in the story? Like, you do the heist, it goes wrong, and he's like, I gotta settle down on this planet here for a sec, get the ship repaired, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, and then it's like, I'm meeting this person. You're like, okay. And they're like, here's this location. And then I'm like, okay, like, I assume I'm putting in my head what I think the story will be, but it only just now did like the like villain really like kick in.
Is that is that the moment where people say it gets good?
I don't know what the moment people say it get good is, but I did like the first dungeony kind of like area. Sure. It was the forest array, and I met who is the villain, and I was like, okay, this is the plot is now happening, but it took a real long time to get there, and I wasn't super. I think they're really expecting you to be very compelled by Cal Kestis's as a character, which I like Cal fine.
Yeah.
But
he can't really carry things by himself, though.
Can't carry things by himself as much. They're kind of starting to do the thing where you're like getting the old crew from the first game back together, and I do think like that is where a lot of the dynamics worked better. It's like those characters bouncing off of each other. So I'm like, okay, maybe like now it's gonna start getting, you know, a little bit stronger there.
I've heard there's a point in that story where things get really good.
Okay.
And that's why
I'm curious about that.
Yeah, and that's why I want to push through. But I started to play a little bit over the break. Yeah. I think because I saw you online playing it, and I was like, oh, I should go back to it because I got it when it came out, but it was too buggy for me to play more. And I started it up, and I was like, can't do this right now. And then
so. I'm not ready to give it up quite yet, but I am kind of like, man, I really do need this to like pick up a little bit more because the story is not super compelling. And then the gameplay is just sort of fine. It's one of those things where I don't think this is a bad game. And I think everything is like technically well polished and well made. But for whatever reason, I feel bored playing with it. And the other game I thought of that I felt this way was that last Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I remember playing that and being like, wow, this game looks great.
It
checks all the boxes, but I'm so bored. And I just gave up with that game halfway through. And these games are also very similar in structure. Like, they're both, you know, platform, puzzle, combat kind of encounters. Like, this game is very, like, last gen in its presentation. It feels like that was such a I don't know, it's like it still comes from that like Uncharted school of like game design that was so popular back in the days, but feels like it has been kind of waning in popularity over the years. And I don't know if they're doing enough to add anything new to it, because it's like I'm just sitting there being like, I've played games like this before, and this isn't doing anything particular to excite me. There's like that hub area in this one that it seems like pretty open. There's a lot of side quests, and like you can go anywhere and explore. And I remember just looking at that and feeling exhausted in like a bad way. And I was like, I kind of don't want to do that. And also at that point, the story still wasn't like grabbing me. So I'm like, oh, do I really want to do this? Not really. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll keep playing it. It's got to hook me pretty quick because guess what? Their games are coming out real soon. That was the big new one I tried to play. The other thing I played, shame Kurt's not here, because I'd love to talk about this with him, but I finally played Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only... Actually, that's not true. It is one of two mainline Resident Evils that I haven't played.
What's the other one?
The other one is Zero. I haven't played Zero. Okay. Which is the other not good one.
Yeah, yeah.
So I played it, set it up. I played the original Dreamcast version. So I didn't play the director's cut, Code Veronica X, which I know adds some new stuff. There's like more Wesker scenes and.
So you didn't get locked?
No, I had a guide up to like
make sure
because I was playing with my brother and I had him on guide duty, and it was sort of like, don't tell me anything, just like make sure we're not at the point where we're gonna screw ourselves over. So
had your brother played it?
No,
okay,
he had never played either, so we're just following a guide. So we were able to get, we never got screwed out of anything, thankfully, by doing that. Although that game's design, it sure does. If you don't have a guide, oh boy, I'm like, damn, that would definitely have fucked us over multiple times.
Yeah.
I apologies to anyone who really likes Code Veronica. I did not like that game at all.
how long did it take you? Too long?
It was like three playthroughs. I think it took like 9 hours.
You did three playthroughs?
Well, we did like 3 hour chunks.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant...
Oh, sorry, sorry. Okay. Yeah, no. We played it over three sessions. And you only have to do one playthrough because in one game, you'll switch between Claire and Chris. It's not like you'll do one and then you'll do a whole nother one.
You think we need a remake of it?
I would like to see a remake, although it's like, it's kind of the same problem with 5 I have, where like the bones of it in some ways are so fundamentally broken that I'm like, you got to throw some of that shit out.
Yeah.
Steve... is like a hilariously awful character. He's got the worst voice acting. He sounds like a 10-year-old child, and he's also got this like weird creepy obsession with Claire. Like he's like super in love with her, and the game frames it as like romantic. Like it plays the romantic music, but she's like sleeping and he like tries to kiss her, and you're like, No, that's creepy. No, like, what are you, the game's like, isn't this romantic? Like, oh, he loves her. And you're like, no, this is terrible. Stop it, Steve.
Oh my God.
So you got to completely redo Steve. And then like the villain, this is where my brother described it this way. And I think it's so apt. This is like the original sin where all of Resident Evil's like bullshit comes from.
Yeah.
Like just like, their obsession with like
when did it came out in between 2 and 3?
Yeah, it was like 2000.
Okay.
Is when it came
out. I guess
that
makes sense because I haven't played it, but like played the mainline ones, and I'm like, I see.
It was originally going to be 3, and then they decided to make and 3 was going to be the spinoff, and then they kind of like
flipped them
around, which is weird and interesting, but. But also calling Veronica a spinoff isn't correct because it is like mainline canonical.
Sure.
It's important, which is weird because like, it's like this is where like the weird obsession with monsters that are more just like goop than like interesting that of a la like 5 and 6 kind of devolved into.
Yeah.
This is where like Wesker's like returns and he's like, oh, isn't Wesker so badass and cool? And you're like, I mean, he's like cheesy and but like. You guys think he's cooler than I think he actually is cool. And I think that's the problem is that like you can tell they're taking it very seriously. And I'm just like, guys, this is really dumb. Yeah. Like, it's really dumb. Yeah. Like, there is a plot twist that happens that I will not spoil for anyone who hasn't played it and wants to. But there is a plot twist involving the main characters that is so just awfully just outdated in every way and bad, and you're just like, yikes, yikes, yikes. Wow. Like one of those things that you're like, yeah, I mean, that seems like something someone would have done in the 2000s, but also like, good Lord, oh, you can't do that anymore.
Interesting.
You'd have to completely change that. And then on top of that, I think the actual design of the game just isn't as good as the other Resident Evils. I think it runs.
Is that a different team?
I don't know. I'm not. I assume part of the two team.
Yeah.
Worked on it, but I think the two team maybe was going to four. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it starts off promising because I actually like the opening area in the prison, and I was like, oh, this is like pretty well designed, and you're going back and forth. It hits a point though where suddenly it starts like expecting you to, like, So I think a good Resident Evil perfectly balances that ability to where it feels like you are exploring an area and naturally coming across where to go next, even though the game is probably actually guiding your hand, but it does it in such an invisible way you don't realize it. So like Resident Evil 2 Remake, perfect example of that, where I think that game is like flawless, and like it never feels like it's holding your hand, but you always feel like you don't get stuck. You kind of know where to go.
You always know where to go. You know how to navigate.
You know how to navigate it. There's always a new thing. Yeah. I think it's so expertly crafted. This game has multiple moments where it just kind of is like, you're supposed to go all the way back over there, but doesn't really guide that in a way that is like, so you just find yourself getting stuck where you're like, where am I supposed to go? And then you're like, like that happened to me multiple times in a way that it hasn't happened in other Resident Evil games, recent and past. Like that never happened to me when I played OG 1 and 2 on the PlayStation. So, I just think like that stuff is kind of weaker. Kind of drags out a little long. So, yeah. I'm glad I played it so that I can finally
say, are you going to try to do 0 now?
I am going to try to do 0, although
is that GameCube?
So
is
it's GameCube. They also have a remaster on PC. Yeah, I am going to eventually play that one. I'm not going to play it right now because I kind of want a break after playing Code Veronica. But I am glad I did finally play it. So I can now say I played Code Veronica.
And it sucked.
I didn't really care for it. Again, apologies to all of you who liked Code Veronica. I know there's a lot of Code Veronica defenders.
I feel like
I'm happy for you all.
I've heard a lot of people say very positive things about it. And I have no concept of what that game is other than that it's a Resident Evil game. Because... Sure. I wasn't into Resident Evil when that came out, and now I don't want to go through the trouble to play it, and now I definitely don't want to go through the trouble to play it.
Yeah, I think they're probably good. I would like to see them do a remake, because I think that'd be cool. Like, it'd be an interesting challenge, but at least for me, where I kind of look at it, and I'm just like, at least for me, the things you'd have to change so much of it that, like...
Would you be more interested in seeing a remake of that than 5?
Ooh...
Because I feel like we are kind of at that point in Resident Evil remakes where it's like, I know a lot of people really want to remake Code Veronica, and that's probably what I'm leaning more towards just because I never played it. But like, after hearing you talk about it, I'm like, yeah, but after like 4, how am I supposed to get excited for a 5 remake or a Code Veronica remake?
Yeah, they got 3 choices, right? They either do Code Veronica, they do 5, or they just remake 1 again.
They might do...
I don't know if I want that.
That would probably be the one I'd be most interested in. I'd be most curious, I would say.
I think I'd be less excited just because the original 1 remake is so...
It's so good.
Flawless.
Yeah.
But, like, I get it. People don't like the tank controls still. I think I've said it before, but I would actually... If you were to redo 1, do it in VR. I think
that'd be pretty cool.
I think that'd be incredible. Yeah. I don't think they'll do that, though, because... Boy, did people really not care about VR right now. They put out that 4 remake in VR, and they just kind of dumped it.
I was on the bus today, as I usually am when I head into the office.
And someone was playing VR?
No, someone wasn't playing VR, but I was like reading, and I looked over, and they had just purchased a PlayStation VR 2. Like, they were in the thing. They just confirmed it, and then they checked the receipt on their email, and it was like PSVR 2 order confirmation.
Well, I hope that person plays Resident Evil.
Honestly, if I looked over and like caught them sooner, I would have been like, just so you know,
there's not that many games.
There's not going to be much to do.
Yeah.
Just think about it. I caught him after he had like completed the purchase.
It's unsure of how much Sony's going to support that thing. It's a shame that none of those, all that stuff is, the Resident Evil VR experiences are locked to PlayStation.
Separate consoles.
Yeah, it sucks. They're locked to separate consoles and they're just in general locked on PlayStation because apparently like MetaQuest 3 is pretty good. I didn't know this, but I was watching SkillUp's like best of the year video and he was talking about how Valve added like a native Steam Link app where you can wirelessly play games on the MetaQuest 3. So he was playing Half-Life Alyx on it. I was like, that actually sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of amazed that
that's
Meta like did let them do that because I feel like they're usually very like locked down on it. But
Dan Reichert started playing Half-Life Alyx the same way and said it's great. It makes me really want to play.
That's awesome. So
because I have the MetaQuest 2.
I have it as well.
Kind of hate that thing.
Yeah, I kind of regret getting it. I
prefer the first one. Saved. The first one was more comfortable.
Wasn't locked down.
Yeah, but my family was really into it, so I gave it to them, then bought the 2, and I used the 2, and I was like, this gives me a headache within minutes.
Oh, no.
I
like my 2, but I do kind of feel like, I should have just waited for the 3.
No.
Because it seems like it can do more.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
You've also been playing Baldur's Gate more.
It's true.
I have it here. I don't know if you want to talk about it much, because we've talked so much about it.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't have much new to say other than that. I'm currently in Act 3, and man, that game gets... It's like...
It culminates into some things.
It culminates, but also, like, just also it gets, like, even bigger in a way that, like, most games... Like, this is, like, the games have, like, a... There's, like, a very classic video game, like, it's style. Like, it's the diamond structure.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, you start at the beginning, and it gets bigger in the middle, and then it kind of, like, shapes everything back into the end. And this game, like, kind of does it, but it gets even bigger at the end.
Yeah. Well, like, it kind of inverts it, because, like, I feel like the first act, there's a lot to do. The second act, it, like, narrows in a little bit, and then it...
Yeah, it's almost like hourglass game design. I don't even know if that makes sense, but...
Patent it.
Hourglass game design. There you go, Larian. But yeah, that third act is like overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, I think we spent like 30 minutes just like talking to everyone in like a tavern.
Yeah.
And because Georgia has played ahead of me, she like knows stuff. So I'd be like, all right, we're done with this tavern. And she's like, no, we missed like 5 things. I'm going to go walk around and show you all of them. And I was like, what? This game.
Well, at least for me, I think if I played it that way where I had to see everything, I'd have a very tough time enjoying that game. But I very much was like, okay, this is what my character is. This is what my character's doing. And this is what I'm interested in doing. And like followed a set path.
Yeah.
Not a set path, but
I'm not trying to like grind everything. It's more just like, okay, I want to like make sure I go to every area, see what's up.
Especially Baldur's Gate proper. Like that city's kind of small, but... It's not because there is so much, there's so many people to talk to, so many quests to do, so many shops to check out, so many threads to follow, like quests. It's wild. Act 3 is so good though.
It's very impressive. I'm enjoying it quite a bit, but yeah. I think we've talked plenty about Baldur's Gate for now.
I think we have.
So yeah, 2024
has begun.
And there are like we said, not as many games, but still a lot. So I think we put up a list of kind of the big games, and I don't necessarily want to like
talk through all of them,
but were there any kind of on this list that you sort of wanted to maybe just talk about, excited for?
There's two I'm really excited for.
Okay.
I'm excited for Persona 3 Reload.
I am so excited for Persona 3 Reload.
Never played the original, but I've played 4 Golden, 5 Royal. I've done the 5 spinoffs. Well, I haven't finished.
I'm very curious Tactica. How they modernize some of that stuff, because the original Persona 3, I love that game, but it is definitely very dated. Because it was like the first time they made that game, Persona games like that. So
I think
there's a lot of things I got wrong or just like hadn't figured out yet. That like you get to 5 and it's like there's so much better mechanically.
I think what I want to do is I want to do 3 Reload, and then I think I want to play through Persona 3 as with the female route.
Portable.
Because I'm super curious about that, and like
it's weird to say that I'm bummed that that route's not in the reload, since I never played the original. I don't even know what I'm missing. What's that?
I'm bummed.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I get why people are bummed, but like, I'm bummed too, but I'm like, I don't even really know what I'm missing because I haven't played it at all. But I'm super excited to play Persona 3. I mean, hearing you and Michael talk about it over the years, love for 5 and 4.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited for that. The other game I'm really excited for, which I don't have a release date for, is Stalker 2.
Yeah, supposedly.
That is kind of it for me, though. I want to play Yakuza, but Yakuza. I need to finish Like a Dragon, original first.
You were replaying that. Are you close?
I'm at the point where I have a bunch of money that I need to give to someone.
Okay,
I'm like right about to get to that point.
Like 3/4, I think?
Yeah, I think
maybe?
I'm almost done. So I want to make sure I finish that before I do. Okay. But part of me also, a friend of mine gifted me all of the Yakuza games on Steam. So I'm like, maybe I should play through all of them first. I might do 0
That'll take you a while.
I know. I guess it just depends. I'm going to wait to see what other people say about Infinite Wealth, like how important that other stuff is.
I'll let you know.
So that's why, like, I'm not super excited for it. I mean, I'm excited to play it eventually, but I'm not like, I need to play it now. But yeah. That Reload, I'm super excited for, and Stalker 2. Like, I cannot wait for Stalker 2. I think that game is going to be a knockout.
Yeah, I think that's a game that a lot of people have just sort of, not like forgotten about, but like, it's just kind of been under the radar for a little bit. It's like a Baldur's Gate 3, where it's like, we know it's going to be good, but like, they've been cooking on it, you know, a lot of stuff has happened. The war, obviously, but I think hopefully it'll come out this year and be good.
Yeah,
I'd really like to, because that first Stalker is very special and also very bad.
Yeah.
So I would like to see like what a like more polished sequel to that game could be. Let me slide that list my way here. Let me see here. What else we got? Okay.
I mean, yeah, there's other games coming out this year that I'm like excited for, but like,
I'm looking at this
list.
I'm not
really, really excited.
Totally. I'm very excited for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That will be great. But I also have much to say about it right now. Just other, like, it's probably going to be pretty good. That'll be good. I'm excited to play that one. I'm kind of with you, though. I mean, I think the big thing for me is like Destiny 2, The Final Shape.
Sure.
And that's just sort of like here it is, the ending of their thing. And
then you're giving up Destiny.
Honestly, I might. You joke, but like, that might be my point where I hop off. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I think the last year of Destiny has kind of soured my enjoyment of playing that game quite a bit.
Sounds like it's done the same for a lot of people.
A shame. It's a real shame. Some of it, the game itself. Some of that external stuff, like all the layoffs and the way that's been handled, was just like, I don't feel like playing this game. But I do want to see that expansion through, and I hope it's a good one, because I think that team deserves to get their recognition, because like, damn, man, like they stuck with that shit for like 10 years. And like, that is impressive. And like, I know Destiny's kind of a punching bag in games, but I do think that game, the fact that was one of the first live services that has stuck around this long, and there have been, for as many faults in that game, they also put out some incredible stuff in that game. And I do think, so I'd like to see them end on a strong note.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too, even though I won't play it because I'm way too far behind. But
that's fine. It's your last chance to do a day one raid experience.
See,
it's your final chance, potentially.
Maybe I'll try it. Depending on what else is coming out around that time.
I think that's the thing I'm excited for. It's the raid. Like, me and my raid buddies are all like, dude, this is it. This is going to be like the big one.
You
can
get a jacket?
Maybe. I've never bought a jacket.
What is it? You have to complete the raid within 24 hours and then you get like a key to buy a jacket? That's like $200 or something?
Yes. I think the jacket, you don't have to beat it within the first 24. I think you just have to beat it in like the first month.
Okay.
The emblem is what you get for beating in the first 24.
I see.
But I got close with the last jacket, but I've never found the design has never been, because they're expensive. They're like, and I'm just like, no,
it's got to check all the boxes.
Yeah.
It's got to look good. It's got to,
quite good enough for me to get it, for me personally. So maybe the last one will be cool and I'll get it. Who knows? They also sell rings, raid rings. I've never bought those. That seems stupid. That's like a
it's like a, yeah, it's like a class ring.
Yeah, it's like a class ring. It's like, I'm not
but
doing
worse
that.
Somehow. I didn't think there was much worse than that, but a there Destiny raid ring is. Oh man. I want to know how many people actually buy those.
Me too.
Is there like a Destiny Con, a Bungie Con?
There used to be. There was a Guardian Con. I think that's what it was called.
Yeah.
But I think they only did it a couple times.
I bet you'd find people with those rings there.
Oh, probably. Yeah. I'm surprised David Amati never bought one.
Oh, I could see him doing it.
That man's got Destiny bedsheets.
Does he?
I've seen them. He bought them, and I've seen them. I've had it when I went to his apartment, and I was like, wow, you really bought them. Good for you.
Damn. He didn't even play Destiny anymore, right? He kind of slowed down a lot.
He's kind of in the same boat as me right now, where he plays still regularly, but I think he's sort of kind of like on a down swing with that game at the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of it for games at the moment. I mean, there's definitely a lot of games that look exciting and cool. I'm curious about Dragon's Dogma because I never played the first.
I want to play Dragon's Dogma. I'm curious about Granblue Fantasy Relink for some godforsaken reason.
Probably Michael. I'm sure that's Michael Brainrot.
I want to play... I mean, I think we can say that we have The Last of Us Part II remastered. That's all I can say, though. You know. Let's see, what else?
Yeah, just like stuff I'm like, oh, you know,
yeah.
I can't wait to check out. I'll check out that new Prince of Persia. I am more
Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League.
I'm morbidly curious about it.
I'm not.
I don't think I'm gonna like it. I don't think it's gonna be good. But if there's a like if like there's a code, sure.
Floating around.
Am I gonna spend money on it? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to do that. yeah, that's kind of it. And then I put a Hollow Knight Silk Song on this list, but we all know that's never coming out.
Yeah.
That game's not happening.
We talked about it at lunch, but I think the thing I'm most excited to see next year is the Switch 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got to be this year, right? I feel like all the leaks are coming to a head, and like it sounds like they're going to make an announcement this year.
At the very least announcement.
I think the leak that went around the other day was that the Switch 2 is supposed to be an iteration on the Switch. It's not going to be like some new, which is good. I like the Switch a ton.
I think that's
I'm okay
fine.
With that.
Yeah. I think the Switch is too good of a concept to not try and build off.
Yeah.
Of.
Especially because I feel like with the Steam Deck and with all this tech, I feel like you could make the next Switch not be a powerhouse because it's a Nintendo, but I think it can kind of maybe solve a lot of those issues that the hardware has now. You know, like Pokemon, for example, does not run well. I mean, that's probably for more reasons, just the hardware.
Yeah.
But there's, I feel like, you know, when you get a Switch port of a game, it's held back a lot. And I imagine that'll continue to be the case no matter what they do, because obviously you can't put all that power in a small machine. But that being said, I think just getting some better running Switch games would be great.
Yeah, that's a good point about the portable PCs, because that kind of exploded last year.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a new portable PC coming out like
all
every
the time.
Month. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Like that market is...
But I still play my Switch more than anything.
Yeah, Switch and Steam Deck, I think still haven't really been beaten. But that is kind of interesting, is like that market is very different now.
Yeah.
So it's both a good and a bad thing, where I think because it's more open, I think there's almost like more opportunities for Nintendo to like add better hardware, but also like the that allure of like the initial allure when the Switch came out was not just Nintendo games, but also like, well, when's this game getting ported to the Switch?
Yeah.
When's this game getting
Doom
ported
is
to the
coming
Switch?
To the Switch.
Like,
Doom 2016,
whoa, like
how
all
are
these
doing
games
that
you got excited about, and like I feel like that also carried a lot of momentum for the first couple of years in the Switch's life. That's not gonna really quite be there the same, because you're like, well, there's all these portable PCs now that do that. And so like that doesn't quite feel as special anymore. So
I think
I'm curious what other tricks they will have.
Yeah.
To make it interesting.
And I said, like, I'm excited for the Switch 2, but to be honest, it's not really even the Switch 2 hardware necessarily that I'm excited for. I'm curious to see what game software it launches with, because I feel like, man, the Switch had such an incredible launch year with Zelda and Mario Odyssey. We can just name those. I mean, there was other stuff, but those alone were amazing. And I think, like, we're getting to a point where the last 3D Mario game was 2017, not counting Bowser's Fury or whatever. So I think like
we're due for a new Mario. I wouldn't be surprised if something like that would be a launch title. I mean, historically, Mario sells consoles. Metroid Prime, like, that got announced in, what, 2016?
That feels like it has to almost be like, and it's going to come out day one.
Like, yeah, that seems like the perfect launch title, too, for the Switch. Yeah. Because, like, obviously Metroid's not as big, but Metroid has such a diehard fan base. They will go out and buy those consoles so they can play the new... I mean, that's why I'd get it, you know?
I also think, like, that thing is almost like... It's become like myth, like Metroid Prime 4. Like everyone knows about it just because of its like legendary status. This is a game that's been like
missing forever. So,
I think a lot of people are going to like be curious about it for that reason alone. I mean, dude, the Switch has, I mean, maybe the best Nintendo library in terms of like consistency. Yeah. Like the amount of games that consistently come out on the Switch every year that are good, that are like Nintendo Switch exclusives, is kind of insane.
Yeah,
like,
I did the best Switch games of the year. I did that video. Yeah. And like, you know, with Xbox, it's like, oh, well, these games are also on PC. With PlayStation, it's like some of these games are on PC. Some of them, like just Baldur's Gate, you know, it's kind of on everything, but not really. But with the Switch, it's like, we like had more games than could fit on the list. So I had to make an honorable mention section so I could talk about Fire Emblem Engage, which didn't make the list. And that game is, you know, not my favorite Fire Emblem, but that game is still good. Mm-hmm. And then Xenoblade Chronicles, the fucking DLC was also really good. And like Pikmin 4 did make the list, but Pikmin 4 was so good. It's just like every year it's just banger after banger. And I think what we've seen for next year, like what we've got, Princess Peach's something or another. We've
Showtime, got Princess Peach Showtime.
Showtime. We've got Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. Yep. Like, all those games, I think, seem pretty good. I'm excited to play all of them, but they also feel like, not, I don't want to say low effort games, but they feel like games that probably take less resources so they can, like, pivot a lot of those studios to. This is all speculation. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but that's how I see it in my head.
Yeah, I think no matter what, it's like, I'm going to buy whatever the successor with Switch is.
Just if I can. Yeah.
It's the only way I can play those Nintendo games. Yeah. And Nintendo, I think, has really proven that they are just able to like consistently put out like quality games on a regular basis. It's like, even if I just play Nintendo games on my Switch, I still feel like that justifies the purchase of the thing with what I get out of it. So, well,
I think, too, like the fact that, you know, for as long as I've been playing Nintendo games, their first party stuff has been split between two consoles, right? There's the home console, there's the handheld.
Right.
And with the Switch, everything is coming to that one platform. So I think like you're just getting a much more rapid cadence of like,
that's true,
like banger after banger.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'd be, I'll be curious to see what little Nintendo frills they add to it. Hopefully the Joy-Cons are better.
Maybe let me customize the home screen a little.
Yeah, I could use some fun back in my Nintendo console. You know, give me some fun. Give me a fun UI. Give me some music. Have some music over the shop, for God's sakes. That's all I need. I just need some fun.
Yeah,
because that is the one thing about the Switch. I'm just like, eh.
Also, the store is really slow these days. I don't know.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. I struggle to think of any digital storefront on any console that is not awful, to be honest. I think the Switch is maybe the worst because it is the slowest, but like I think they're all kind of really bad.
Sure.
Like, God, the Xbox One. You try and search a game and it like it's just like movie.
Yeah.
Icon pack.
You're like, God, what was it? Cocoon. I was trying to find Cocoon and I just couldn't. I just kept searching it and wasn't getting anything. And
you just
like,
can't
I
find
don't
it.
Care.
Well, all right. That has been what we've been playing. That has been what we're looking forward to in 2024. And I think it's going to be this episode of GameSpot After Dark.
Hell yeah.
Keeping it short and brief. But yeah, it's just been me and Jake this week, as everyone's still recovering. People should be back next week, though.
I won't.
But Jake won't, because Jake's actually taking his
That's
break.
My vacation time.
Yep. So we'll have other people back next week for the podcast. Also, I think some of our regular stuff should start picking back up. I believe Spot On will be back starting next week as well, because Lucy and Tam will be back. We're going to... The game's already coming, as we've said. So, like, I think
they
don't stop coming. So, like, I mean, we're going to be getting out previews and reviews soon for a lot of that stuff. We're cooking up plans for the year. Hopefully some cool stuff happens. So yeah, thank you everyone for sticking with us for all these years and for continuing to stick around for 2024. Mm-hmm. And I've been John Luke. This is Jake. And we'll see you all next time.
And Kurt's got a video going up soon that everyone should watch.
Shoot.
Sometime this week.
Damn, you're right. Sorry, Kurt. I forgot about that. That's good.
We're good.
We'll go watch it. Yeah. All right. Bye.